This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sue. Before I say anything, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for that wonderful passage which tells us how to build a beautiful church. And I pray, Lord, you'll be with me now and help me to speak the truth in love. Amen. About 2,000 years ago, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, had supper for the last time with his disciples. And he was sitting in an upstairs room in a street in Jerusalem, you know, with dogs barking outside, dust and noise and all the rest of it. And round about that time, he prayed a prayer, and a wonderful prayer which we have in John 17. And the last bit of that prayer, he prayed for us. He prayed for those who would believe in me through the message of the apostles. That's a prayer for us. And what did he pray for us? He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus' prayer for us was the prayer of unity. And the Apostle Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, talked several times, and it's been preached on already this series, about the importance, the essential nature of unity in the church. This Tuesday, there was another meeting in a slightly cool room, darkness outside, room 5 in this church. And it was the meeting of the Roots group that my wife Sue runs, with a bit of help from me, and there were 5 people there, and I want to tell you a bit about some of them, because people's what it's all about, isn't it? These people have been coming for a long time to this roots group, which has been going on for about, I think, 12 years now. One of them is Stephanie Pirana. Who knows Stephanie Pirana? Right, about four of you. Just an ordinary person in this church. Stephanie worked with street children in Peru, and that's where her heart is. She's come back here, and now she works as a full-time carer for people all over Kettering, a lot of them very elderly, in great need. And she comes to our roots group, and she's often really tired. She also is nodding off sometimes because she's so exhausted. And she's a real woman of prayer. Another member of our roots group is Stuart Waters. And Stuart Waters is 80, and he still does competitive cycling, long-distance competitive cycling. He's an athlete. And Stuart and his wife, Chrissy, when they were here, they did marriage guidance counselling for many years. They helped a lot of people. And then Chrissy got dementia, and Stuart spent years nursing her with dementia. And as a roots group, we were supporting him in that. He was also Christ the King's first drummer. And he's got a wonderful, practical, down-to-earth Christian faith. And then there's Steph Mercer, who comes. And Steph has got a lot of things wrong with her body, bless her heart. She can hardly see, she can hardly walk. And she always comes to the roots group. It sometimes takes half an hour to get her here, but she always comes. And Steph has been in this church 48 years. And throughout that whole time, she's organized the flowers. And she's been a faithful woman of prayer. And she's about the same age as Stuart. And the thing about these people and running this roots group, sometimes we'll get frustrated with each other. Sometimes you're still like giving up, you know, especially when people don't turn up. But we love these people to bits. And we see glimpses of Jesus in each one of them. During the this year, we had the electoral roll ceremony. And anyone who says, I want to be a member of the church, I'm a member of the church, signs the electoral roll. 341 people signed the electoral roll. And if you add in children, young people, and others who didn't sign the electoral roll, there are about 500 people in this church. And it makes it a very big church, especially in the context of somewhere like Kettering. And you know, as I look around this room today, I see glimpses of Jesus in pretty well everyone I can see. You know, I know some of you, I don't know some of you, but the ones I know, I see big glimpses of Jesus. And we're part of a, when we come together like this, we're part of a beautiful church. Around about the time of the electoral roll, we had the annual church meeting. And I remember, Rob's going to like this because he loves it when people remember what he said. And one of the things he said was that one of the good things to come out of the pandemic is that there's never been a better time to reimagine church. There's never been a better time to reimagine church. And there hasn't. And he's also since then talked a lot about belonging and the importance of fostering a sense of belonging. And Stuart Welch and I were quite inspired by this, and we went to him and said, we'd like to help reimagine church. We'd like to help all the ministry areas reimagine how they can operate their ministry and foster a sense of belonging. So we asked to do that. And we've had a wonderful time speaking to lots of ministry heads, people like Sue Hare over there, Lillian over there, Val and Joe, and so on. And we've learned so much about this church. And we've met people who are full of excitement and can't wait to get moving. We've met people who are spinning plates, and they don't know whether they're coming or going sometimes. And we've met people who are brokenhearted and sorrowful and who are clinging on to church by their fingertips. And I can see all of you here this morning. We're all in different places, and Jesus is in all of us. I was on my knees yesterday morning praying about this talk, and God gave me a picture of a large piece of cloth, and I saw people sewing golden threads through this piece of cloth. It's a beautiful golden thread of encouragement. A beautiful golden thread of somebody taking an elderly person to church to hope on a Tuesday morning. A beautiful golden thread of somebody sitting with somebody in hospital, just being with them, praying with them. A beautiful golden thread of somebody visiting someone who's housebound, who's perhaps lost their loved one, just being there, encouraging them, lifting them up. A beautiful golden thread that we experienced at Alpha on Wednesday, when someone whose life's been wrecked by addiction and who's recovered from that and who hasn't got a clue about who Jesus is, when I said to them, "Why do you think he came?" And she said, "Well, I suppose to sort out the mess we've got ourselves into." Lovely golden thread. Well done. Beautiful golden thread of going to Mishmash and sitting with, in all the chaos of that service for people with additional needs, beautiful golden thread of just chatting to one of the parents who's battling their way through life. And I see this piece of cloth full of beautiful golden threads, which not only make it look really beautiful, but which hold it together. And that's part of the unity that comes from building a beautiful church. We asked Stuart and Steph what unity looks like. And they said, unity looks like community. And as we've gone around the church, that word community comes up time and time again. And I bumped into Sean yesterday in the co-op, and we were talking about this, and he said, yes, it's a unity of encouragement, a community of encouragement. It has to be a community of purpose, and those two go hand in hand. I'm going to get the passage in a minute. this is the passage, actually. The pandemic, as well as giving an opportunity to reimagine church, has also been like a storm that has blown through this church and all churches and has scattered the sheep. Just look around this morning and half the seats are empty. People are watching online. And we need, there's a huge need in this church and all churches in this land now for diligent, compassionate shepherding. And it has to start, obviously, with Rob and Eleanor, and it moves all the way through the church. We all can all be shepherds of each other. But also, we've got to be willing to be shepherded. And I absolutely know that quite a lot of people cannot come to church for health reasons or they're looking after a loved one, and that is absolutely fine. We need to come out to you. But for those of us who can come to church, I just want to mention Hebrews 10:25, which says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." And it can be very convenient watching online and having a cup of coffee or perhaps watching a service later, and bless you for that. But that isn't fully being part of a church community. And if you can come back, I just urge you to come back into the service. You know, I don't like wearing a mask. But we come, and there's something about being physically present which is essential to community. And so, to the text, Paul has been praying prayers to the Ephesians, he's been eulogizing about how wonderful Jesus is, and now he comes to chapter 4, and he says, right, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to build a beautiful church? And this is what he says. This is what we've got to do. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I read that and I thought, that sounds like quite hard work. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort. Be completely humble. You know, you can have a, if someone just dips into church the first time, they can look around and say, oh, this looks like a lovely unity, you know. It's kind of superficial unity you get when you don't really, you know, you're not, for the, just come and have a quick look. But the real unity of church is something that is really hard won and has to be fought for. Because, you know, when we're really invested with a sense of committed belonging, when we're caring for people and spending a lot of time and prayer doing it, we put ourselves in a vulnerable place. And there's all kinds of scope for feeling all kinds of emotions about church, you know, which I've mentioned, elation, sorrow, confusion, so on. And we have to keep reverting back to this. Be completely humble, bearing with one another in love, be patient and gentle. And these qualities are the qualities of Jesus, aren't they? They're qualities of Jesus. And we need these Christ-like qualities in abundance to retain the unity of the church, to build it into a beautiful church. The verse I like best, actually, is this one about keeping the unity of the Spirit. And the word keep, if you go back to the original translation, means cherish and guard. So as we look at maintain the unity of the church, it says, make every effort to cherish and guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then we've got this beautiful picture of Jesus leading his, building up his kingdom, riding in triumph. And what does he do? He disperses his gifts among his people. There's a lot of passages in the Bible which talk about the diverse gifts we have. There's Romans 12, there's 1 Corinthians 12, there's Ephesians 4, and there are others that talk about the diversity of gifts. And we've had quite a lot of teaching on this. And just a headline, the gifts, I want to say, everybody has them. Don't be so humble that you think, I haven't got any gifts. They're all of equal value. Whether it's cleaning the toilets, whether it's prophesying, or, you know, teaching, preaching a sermon, washing the dishes after mishmash, they're all gifts. They're all of equal value and importance. And without all of them, you haven't got a complete church. The other thing I want to say about the gifts is that when you've got a gift, like the gift of encouragement, don't just assume that everybody must find encouragement easy. Because when we've got a particular gift, quite often we've got a blind spot in another area. I remember I was running Alpha, and the first time we used the videos for Alpha, it didn't occur to me that the projector wouldn't play the video on the screen. So I'm quite good at teaching people about coming to Jesus, but when it comes to the technicality of making a projector work, I haven't got a clue. And 5 minutes to go before the video was going to play, I thought, how's that video going to play? And I quickly rang Steve Dobman, and he came and rescued me with his laptop, which he tied up to the projector so that it would work. And I've got a complete blind spot when it comes to technicalities like that. If you're good at that, like Steve is, he probably thinks, well, it's obvious, isn't it? You know, he might have a blind spot somewhere else. But the fact is, if you want a beautiful church, the way God's organized it is that he's given gifts to all these different people, and they have to come together in a kind of interlocking beauty that, when it's linked up with the unity that we talked about, makes the church a really beautiful place. And finally, maturity. Let's just read this bit from the passage. So God's given us these gifts to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's a lovely verse that ends this passage. It says, from him, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And that is a picture of a mature, beautiful church. The whole body, as each part does its work. Now that means everybody, all 500 of us, whether you're watching online or whether you're here this morning, we've all got gifts. We all want to come to a sense of committed belonging, and we've all to come together. But something important in a very practical sense about this, which is if all 500 of us piled in to serve, it would be chaos. What we need is some of the gifts of the Spirit to help make that work. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit on Alpha, or when we talk about gifts of the Spirit here in church, we often focus on gifts like prophecy, speaking in tongues, wonderful gifts like that, which is so important, so beautiful. But when you look at Romans 12:8 and 1 Corinthians 12, tucked in amongst those are some other gifts of the Spirit which are really, really practical. You know, at the end of a talk on gifts of the Spirit, you might say, you know what, administration is also a gift of the Spirit. And we say, is it? That's interesting. You know what, when you've got a church of 500 people, the gift of administration and organization is absolutely crucial to running it. Otherwise, you know, it's just chaos. In Romans 12:8, you know, there's the gift of diligent leadership. And it's not just Rob, Eleanor, Joe, and so on. It's all of us. We're all leaders. And alongside that gift of diligent leadership in Romans 12:8 is the gift of encouragement. And administration, encouragement, and diligent leadership are three wonderful gifts of the Spirit which we really need to be praying for as we build this beautiful church up into being a mature church. And I think those three gifts can be the difference between being a five-talent church with a three-talent ministry or a five-talent church with a 10-talent ministry. And that's what we want to be. Finally, I had a revelation. I've had two revelations in the last few months. One was, I'm a child of God, right? A second revelation is what a beautiful thing the church is. And it says here, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you might think, well, we're never going to get there. It's so beautiful, we can't get there. But you know what? I think we can. The Bible says we are made in the image of God. That's a wonderful, mysterious thing. And I've always thought about that individually. We're individually made in the image of God. But you know what? When we come together with these God-given diverse gifts in a beautiful, hard-won unity, together as church, we reflect the image of God far more richly than we ever can do on our own. And we are a community of disciples on an adventure together of becoming more like Jesus and helping others to do the same. And we think of ourselves as becoming more like Jesus individually. But you know, when we come together with a diversity of gifts in a hard-won, precious unity, we are together as church far more beautifully, becoming more like Jesus. And I think that is the beauty of church, and that is why church is such a wonderful, precious thing. That's why church is described as the bride of Christ. Amen. Thank you.